Good morning. All right, take your Bibles to 1 John, chapter number 4. So a couple weeks ago, when we last met in Sunday school, you know, we looked at verse 24 of chapter 3. That's where we ended. And we saw that he said the Spirit, which he had given us. And that was a transition into what we're going to talk about here in chapter 4. You know, today we're going to see that's a gift. When someone gives something to you, that's a gift. And so I think we need to view the Spirit of God as a gift. I mean, it is definitely a help. And John is aware of that, and John has a deep appreciation, if you will, for the Holy Spirit. If you just read his gospel, I think you will understand that more so than other gospels. And John knew that there were false spirits also in the world, and he understood, and we're going to see this bear out today, but he understood that believers were being influenced by false doctrines. And we've looked at that. We know what John is addressing in the first three chapters of this book. And so we know that he understood that. And he knew, though, that even though you're bombarded with these false doctrines and these false spirits, John knew that God has not left us here on earth to be swayed by these false doctrines. I mean, that is not consistent with who God is. Instead, God desires that we try the spirits or test the spirits, and then, now this is the part that we have a trouble with, and then mark those that are contrary to his son. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at the first six verses of chapter 4 and see what John has to say about this. So in verse number 1, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." You know, John warned against believing every spirit, which means there's more than one spirit. We need to understand that. And here's what we need to understand, because, you know, the flesh's tendency is to get wooey when we start talking about the word spirit. That's not what we're talking about here. There's nothing that needs to be tingly and wooey, you know. But let me just tell you this. As believers today, we should never assume that every spiritual experience or every demonstration of spiritual power is of God. You know, we need to just... You just need to accept that, okay? You're going to see a lot of things in this world. You're going to hear of a lot of things in this world. And we just have to understand that. That's what he means by that. We have to test spiritual experiences and spiritual phenomenon. And I know that's kind of a wooey word, but we need to test those to see, in fact, if they are from God. And here's what John does. John is going to give us now in verse 2 and 3 how that test is to be performed. So in verse 1, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits." And again, try means test, whether they are of God. And now he's going to say in verse 2 and 3, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." So sometimes you're going to see, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, sometimes you're going to see the word "hereby," and later on today we're going to see "hereby," and it's going to refer to what was said previous to it. This "hereby" is what's going to refer to what's after it. And so that's kind of a fun style that John writes. And by the way, if you read the rest of chapter 4, all of this, John uses "hereby" a lot. And here's why. There are things we can know. You know, the spiritual life of a Christian does not have to be this mystery of and people say hope. People say hope. Oh, I hope this. But in America in 2024, you say hope, but you don't mean the biblical hope. You mean wish. And that is not how God wants his children to behave. No matter, I wish this, you know, that's what you say, hope like that. That is not the Bible definition of hope. You know, that's the American 2024 definition of hope, is wish. You know, That is not what God wants his children to behave like. So he's saying, here are some concrete things that we can know. So hereby know ye the Spirit of God. If you want to know absolutely how to know if the Spirit is the right Spirit or the spiritual experience is the right Spirit, here it is. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And we've dealt with this before, but remember, in John's day, the reason why he's writing this is he's writing this to a group of survivors, if you will, those who have gone through a disruption in their churches in that area, where a group of people have influenced church members to start saying this: God is spiritual, but God does not deal with the material. And so they would say this is wild, and I'll compare it to today. But they would say that Jesus Christ, yes, was all God. But the person that died on the cross was not all God and all man. Because God is super spiritual, and the human body on the cross was flesh and material, and that is not consistent with who God is. That's what they would say. I mean, that's 20,000 foot of what they would say. But they and we've seen John combat this. John has said in chapter 1, I've touched Jesus Christ. I've handled him. And so this is not a new argument. This is an ongoing rebuttal to their beliefs. And so those of you who believe that Jesus Christ is all man and all God, that is just wrong. Now here's the funny thing. You take Mormons and you take Jehovah's Witnesses and you take Muslims, and they believe that Jesus Christ is all man but not all God. And so we've kind of shifted in the falseness of what people believe now. You know, back then they believed that Jesus was all God but not all man. Now everyone's saying, oh, he was a good man, but he had no God. Well, I'm here to tell you, we're independent fundamental Bible believing Baptists, and we know that Jesus Christ is all man and all God. And we have to say that. We have to believe in his deity, and we have to believe in his humanity for salvation to work. There's no other way that the penalty for sin could be addressed through Jesus Christ if he's not all man and all God. And so it's okay to say that, and that is one of the reasons why we say that, is because throughout time in Christianity, there's been a sway in what people believe about Jesus Christ. And we know, because the Bible tells us so, that Jesus Christ is all man and is all God. But it's very easy. It's very easy to see how these influences come into a church. And so there's a group of people that have left these churches that John is writing to that have been swayed by this, that they believe, oh, that Jesus maybe wasn't all man. In fact, in chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "And every spirit that confesses not, that is a spirit of the Antichrist." And here, and the determining of a teacher or a preacher or the spirit, whether he be true or false, is derived from the content of his message. And John is saying, if you hear someone address topics about the Lord, what they say about Jesus Christ will tell you everything you need to know about what they believe. That's what he's saying. He's saying, and if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is all man, all God, then he is an antichrist. Now, John specifically suggests that they should question these spirits on the person of Christ. What people believe about the deity, what they believe about the humanity, what they believe about the sacrifice, what they believe about the overall person of Christ, will reveal what they believe about God. And to deny And this is a good test for us. You know, we're like, oh, this book is great. And then you look at the author of this book, and this guy believes that Jesus didn't die for everyone. So what they believed about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is not right. Okay, so you have to try it. You're like, oh, I listen to this guy on the radio every single week. That's what a lot of people say, or on the internet. I listen to him all the time, or his podcast. Well, look what that person says about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If it's not for all, amen, drop it. It's not that hard. But we're like, oh, but everything else he says. Well, how much poison do you need? Yeah, you can handle it? That God doesn't say, just take what you can handle and leave the rest. God doesn't say that. He is looking for children who try the Spirit on what that person or spirit says about Jesus Christ. Amen. And you think about the eclipse, partial. Now, if it's not full coverage, if what that person believes is not fully what the Word of God says, he's an antichrist. Amen. Drop him. Doesn't matter what the book says about this, or the author says about that, or the college says about this, or the podcast says about that, or the YouTube or the Facebook. It doesn't matter. Amen. It doesn't matter. What they say about Jesus Christ tells you everything you need to know.
That's right.
Amen. And we deal with it, and these people are deal with it. So he's specifically suggesting that anyone who denies who Jesus Christ is the basis of the spirit of Antichrist. And we've looked at that before in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verses 18 through 23, he's already mentioned the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, you know, that's another wooey term. But what we understand from what John is talking about in this setting is the Antichrist is a spirit that opposes the true Christ and offers a substitute, Jesus, and instead of. And that's what these people are doing. These people are like, oh, I know that your Bible, like how they always say that, your Bible says this, but instead of this, we're going to look at it through this translation or this determination or this language. So they do an instead of, the old switcheroo. Listen, that is antichrist. Anti doesn't mean opposite. You read the book of Revelation. It is not that the antichrist is going to be opposite of Jesus. Jesus is beautiful. That doesn't mean the antichrist is ugly. The antichrist is going to be beautiful and draw men to him also. So you can't say that they're going to be opposite of each other. We like to say, my antacid. I had acid, now I have antacid. I don't have acid anymore. I have depression, I have antidepression. That's not what it's saying here in the Word of God. It's not opposite. The Antichrist, when he is manifest in the book of Revelation, he is not opposite. He is not. He's instead of. And that's who you have to be careful for. And that's who I have to be careful of, is people who do that instead of. They're like, oh, and this is real stuff. You go on vacation and you're like, I'm going to go visit this church. And so before I do that, some of you, I do, I'm going to go to the church's website. I'm going to see what they believe. And then I read through, here's what we believe. And you start reading it, and then there's just one thing. And you're here's the deal. There's one sentence they might say, nope, not going to go there. Well, it's just one sentence. It might not even show up in the service. That one thing. Doesn't matter.
That's right.
I would be uncomfortable there.
That's right.
Because their spirit will not jive with my spirit. Amen. Because it's not the same. It's instead of.
Right.
Okay? Well, they're good. We're not talking about that. No one's good. Why'd you even say that?
Amen.
But that's what you say. Mm-hmm. You know? That's what you do. That's what you say. But you do, but we, I read what they believe, and I'm looking for things, and I'm like, nope, just based on their statement of faith. So we have this instead of. And let me tell you, the devil doesn't care at all if you know Jesus or love Jesus or pray to Jesus, as long as it's a false Jesus. As long as it's a false Jesus, he does not care at all. If it's an instead of, make-believe, false Jesus who's not real and can't save, the devil's for it. Because you're occupied over here with that. And man, you're really doing things. I walked into a bakery yesterday. I was out of town. I was in Northwest Arkansas. Walked into a bakery yesterday. And I knew that it had, I was excited because it was called Hala, but it wasn't pronounced Hala. It was pronounced like the, it was spelled like the Jewish challah, you know, it's the bread, right? So I knew, well, these people were Jewish. So I was excited, you know? And so I walk in and man, this guy behind the counter, he was talking to a patron who was there. And he said, and so I just heard the conversation. He wasn't talking to me, and I was thankful because I didn't want to get involved. But he says, here's what he said, because I'm like looking at muffins, but I'm hearing. And he says, I was Jewish, but he said, then I heard the message, and he was real animated. I heard the message and got baptized, and now I see the light. And he goes, and ever since then, oh, he says, I've been just filled. And he was the most tingly guy in flip-flops I'd ever seen. But the devil has put him over to the side, and the devil says, well, I don't have to worry about that guy anymore. Because he's consumed with this instead of, this false. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to have anything to do with that. And so that's what John's saying. Now let's go on to verses. We'll go 3, 4, and 5. Here we go, verse number 4. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Ye are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, there's a lot of things here, and there's some exciting points when you just kind of visually just look at these verses, that ye are of God, they are of the world, we are of God. If you see the we and the ye and the us, and then you see the they and the them. Listen, I think it's great that you just want to love everybody because God loved the whole world. I think that's great, but you need to be careful of some people.
That's right.
All right, listen, the most undertaught, underpreached, an underlearned part of Christianity is discernment. It really is. It really is. And I'm not picking on anyone. I'm just saying, as a whole, the ability to exercise discernment is lacking in Christianity in a major way. And that is one thing. I mean, let's just step away. If you're looking for something to pray about, pray that you get more discernment. I mean, I pray for discernment. I want to be able to detect things and pick up things and know things because, I mean, there's just so much stuff coming at us. And I'm a nobody, and I'm just telling you this from the bottom of my heart. I'm just saying we lack discernment. We really do. And so that's just one thing that we need to pray about. But there's some exciting points of this verse. First of all, I love of these three verses. He says, ye are of God. And I love that. Now, he's talking to them. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You know, and who's he talking? He's talking about the world, because he just said in chapter 4, verse 3, and even already that's in the world, he goes, you have overcome them. You've overcome those people who are, you know why you've overcome them? Because they've crept into your church, you survived, you're an overcomer. You could tell that what they were teaching was not what you heard from the beginning. Okay, that's John's language, from the beginning. So John is not negative at all here. He is encouraging them. You are survivors. You have overcome them. And then he says this in verse 4. He says, you've overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you got to understand it. That means there's opposing forces. I hope we understand, and we can look in other parts of the New Testament to realize that spiritual warfare is real. There is a he that is in the world. I hope you understand that. And there is a he that is in you. Now, I think this is interesting. Let's just look at this verse one more time, because I really think this is kind of funny. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them not. Leave something right there and go to the Gospel of John chapter 12. I just want to show you this. I just think the Bible's funny. In a reverent, holy, good way. But it's a good book. I mean, it's just... In John chapter 12, there's a whole lot here in John chapter 12. It's a pivotal point with an anointing of Mary at Jesus' feet, if you will, and Jesus enters Jerusalem, and then you get down to verse number 19, and we're not gonna. I don't like doing this, you know, because I'm not giving you any context. I'm jumping right in the story. But in verse number 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Now, here's what they're saying. That is hyperbolic, but that's how Pharisees are. They're being very frustrated, and they're being very exaggerating on the impact of Jesus's ministry at this point, because there are some Jews who are now starting to follow Jesus, and they say the world has gone after him. That is so prophetic, because you get to 1 John chapter 4 and it says that he overcomes the world. You know, we can read in other places in the New Testament where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's everyone in the world. But I just wanted to point out chapter 12, verse 19, because I like it when our enemies are frustrated. You know, I like it when they're frustrated with the works of God. And so that's a funny one. That they are exaggerating, but you can tell they're like, the world has gone after him. And John records it. But now back in our text, John is telling you, you are of God, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, because John knows who Jesus is and what he's about. But let me just tell you this. John writes to tell us a couple things here. Like if you look at the end of verse number 6, you'll see that there's a spirit of truth and that there's a spirit of error. And that we as children of God, we can tell the difference. And that's where discernment comes in. There are two different spirits. There is a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. We've already talked about gray area and how that's not a real thing. Any gray area shows lack of study, true study, like study of the Word of God. You know, we don't like to say that. I said that at work one time, and boy, that got everyone. Don't quote that at work. But I, you know, I was like, I said it in love. But let me just tell you this. At one time, decades ago, the postmodern worldview collided with American culture. And what that was is that claim that truth was relative. Okay? And we're past that. But if you think back, 10, 20 years ago, if it's true for you, then it's true, you know, and everyone was talking about my truth and stuff like that. And people would say that. And what's funny is we have moved on from that. And I'll tell you what we've moved on to here in a minute. But everyone defined what their own truth was. And you'll remember, you're an older crowd, but you'll remember how they changed math and all that stuff. And that was actually 20, 30 years ago. And you're like, what do you mean? You know, this means that. And that was a while ago. It seems like just yesterday. And actually what we're dealing with now is worse than that. But that was the postmodern truth. And here's what happens. Eventually, that philosophy breaks down. And I've said this a lot about the homosexual crowd. The homosexual crowd back then said, we were born that way. That's the truth. Okay, that's what they said. And that breaks down because the homosexual crowd nowadays says, no, it's fluid. You can change any time. And all the old homosexual people are like, why are you saying that? We fought and argued that we were born that way, and now you're saying it's fluid. You can change any time. And so there's actually a rift in the homosexual crowd between old homosexuals and young newer members of the alphabet mafia. But they show a change in our definition of truth. So that was, the postmodern was that truth is relative and all that. But now we live in an era called post-truth. Okay? Post-truth is where truth doesn't matter. You know, truth used to be relative. Now truth, it doesn't matter. Feelings matter. Okay, and so we can see that now, that feelings are what matters. And we see that everywhere. Emotions rule. And that kind of world where feelings matter and emotions rule is probably more dangerous in the circulation of false spirits than any other time, you know, where you just feelings. And here's the good news. The good news is when John says try the spirits, we don't have to try the spirits based on what we feel about the spirits. Or we don't have to try the spirits based on our experience with past spirits or anything weird like that. We try the spirits based on what the Word of God says about Jesus Christ. Okay? So the bottom line is there's standards involved. Okay? And so obviously that's the spirit of truth. And then we do have this spirit of error. But let me just tell you this. Whatever makes us feel good becomes truth. That's what they're teaching. You know, there's classes about that and how to identify your truth. Or they just remove the word truth and just say how to identify life. And so they don't even use the word truth. But listen, if you just follow your feelings, then you will believe every spirit out there.
That's right.
That's what happens, even if it's not biblical. And let me just tell you this. False spirits don't care about your soul. And so what John is saying here is actually really amazing if we think back to what we've already heard, because false spirits will use your heart to convince you that you need to follow what you feel. Now, you remember 2 weeks ago, he says, if your heart condemn you and your heart condemn you not. You know, the reason why he's saying this now is because that, what he said in chapter 3, can happen in the opposite direction too. Okay, your heart can lead you away and astray from the things of God based on, I mean, you know, and like everything, it is a spectrum. You know, you're just like, I wanted to go on this vacation And I woke up and the clock said 7:47, and it was a sign that I was supposed to buy an airplane ticket. And you're like, it's God's will. Now listen, if it said DC-10, that's God's will. You know, if your clock said that, that's God's will. But your clock says 7:47, that's called a coincidence. You need to try the spirits. You know, but that's a simple little silly illustration to how people do everything. They're like, I emailed about this job in some place that didn't have a church, and they emailed me back. Must be God's will. That's what we do. We do that on every major decision in life, and we take out truth, and we take out what we know, and we take out all these things, and we have no lack of discernment, and we're just following. We have no lack of that'd be a good thing. We have lack of discernment, and we're just following this spirit of error, and we're letting our heart deceive us. And so we have to be very, very careful. So it's really interesting how the end of chapter 3 that we looked at 2 weeks ago still ties into what John is saying here. Now let me just say one more thing about this, because I think this is pretty interesting, because I love the fact that in verse 4 he says ye, but in verse 6 he says we. But then get this, he says we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Let me just tell you one thing about that us right now. The Catholic Church thinks they are the us. Okay? Because I mean, read it like that. Read it like, put the word Pope in there. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth the Pope. He that is not of God heareth not the Pope. That is their doctrine. Okay? That is not what John is talking about. Here's what John's talking about. John is talking about the apostles who lived with Jesus, who lived with the Word of God, who saw the Word of God work, and then lived in a world where the Word of God wasn't physically present. And when they encountered things, they had to remember back to what the Word of God said when he was here on earth, and then they had to make a judgment based on that. That's what that's the life the apostles lived. We don't understand that. We didn't ever physically walk with Jesus and see how he interacted with people and how he dealt with people and how he managed his life. We don't see that. We read about it. They lived it, and then they lived on the other side of it. Okay? And so that's the us here. So he's saying, listen to those who understand how to use the Word of God to navigate situations. That's what they're saying here. So I love that in verse number 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. People who know God and people who know the Word of God. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know, and then see this, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That hereby is referring to everything before it. And so it's pretty interesting when you read this. And then if you look, if you just keep glancing down, there's a hereby in 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. And then he's going to tell us. So John's writing style, and I've talked about it almost every week, but John's writing style of amplification is very, very exciting. And it just keeps you on your toes. Now, here's the funny thing. We said starting in chapter 3 that it was going to be a transition to love. And we haven't talked about love yet, because that's how John works. Remember, we're going to talk about love, but first we're going to talk about this. Starting next week, through the rest of the book, really, is going to be about love. And we're going to talk about that. But let me just wrap up this week's verses. The devil can never have a saved person. He can't have your soul. He can influence you. He can influence you. But he can never have your soul. And he can even make you disappear. And we've looked at that. That is his desire, to make you ineffective, to make you disappear. The Holy Spirit of God seeks to draw men to the person of Jesus Christ. And the opposite can be said about the false spirits. If the Holy Spirit of God, and remember, the devil, and we don't say this enough, but the devil works as counterfeits. A counterfeit is an instead of. I hope you understand that. Instead of this $20 bill from the U.S. Treasury, we have a counterfeit $20 bill from the U.S. Treasury. That's how the devil works. It's not instead of a 20, use a 10, or instead of American, use Canadian. It's not that. It looks the exact same, except it's a little different. That's how the devil works. He's very, very sly. So when you see something, you can't just say, oh, well, if it was the opposite, it wouldn't be of God. No, it could be very, very similar. But there could be one thing off. And that is how the devil works. So let me just tell you this. The battle for the influence of your life is a real battle. And that can totally derail a Christian's life. But John is saying all you have to do is try the spirits, because it doesn't have to be that way. And let me tell you, there is no shortage of people out there who want to share with you what they think they know. There is no shortage of people out there. And I'm not going to say don't read books or don't listen to anyone. That's not God doesn't even say that. He's saying, I've given you the Holy Spirit if you're a child of mine, and you need to have discernment, and you need to try the spirits. He doesn't say avoid the spirits. He doesn't say hide from the spirits. He says, you are going to encounter spirits. You're going to encounter the spirit of error in your life. Try it. Well, how do I try it? What does it say about Jesus Christ? That's all you have to know. Now, there's social media, there's news, there's political debates, there's church gossip. But I want you to know, not everything you hear that is taught concerning God is true. You have to understand that. That some people are so naive, they're like, well, you know, that is there may actually be evil spiritual forces involved who seek to spread lies and deception. And there is a lot of misinformation out there. And we're not going to go through them all, but you even hear certain statistics that sound convincing, and they're actually absolutely not true. Remember, 60% of statistics are made up. Now, some of you are going to laugh at that at lunch later on. You can say it back. Some of you still are like, okay, that's probably true. You may even heard that, like, sitting in front of the TV causes blindness. It's not true. It's not true. Kids, it's not true. There's a ton of things we hear. I mean, I could list 1,000 things right now that you've always been told that's absolutely not true. You know, but we believed them because we accepted them. We didn't try them. Be Bereans. Be Bereans. Look it up. See if it is so. Because false teachings, they may sound more attractive at first. You know, and that's what these people were dealing with. This super, super spiritual, where the material didn't matter and the world didn't matter. And they get approached and they're like, man, if you could just experience what I experienced. I had a guy who, so every guy that's worked at my house, I try to witness to them. They're in my house. I feel like I can do that. I had a guy mow my yard one time, and I was sitting there talking to him, and he says, if you ever need to be healed, you should come to this church. He's like, this guy has just healed. I mean, if it sounds attractive, it may not be so. Amen. There's so many false things. And like preacher says, if they are such good at healing, why are they not in a hospital? Why are they not in the cancer ward or the emergency room just standing at the door taking away business? Why are they not doing that? Out in the parking lot, just running with their hands out, tapping people. Why are they not doing that? Sounds attractive. But it's not true. And false teachings may be more attractive at first, but in the end, they will lead to death. And we don't need to fall for false teachings. We are Bereans. So have discernment. Next week, chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. Let's get ready for Big People Church.